And it was done in the name of Akhenaten's successors, particularly a young pharaoh who would have been destined for total obscurity had not in 1922 Lord Carnarvon and Howard Carter found his undisturbed sepulchre in the Valley of the Kings. This dramatically discovered tomb, which Carter and Carnarvon searched for 7 years, consists of a series of chambers crammed with the treasures of the king, and his mummy was excavated, and it was discovered that he had a blow on his head. But whether he died as a result of being hit in a war or from being murdered, nobody knows. But he died in his teens, and a series of short-lived kings after his time did all they could to restore the state to its ancient glory. And that involved restoring the worship of Amun. The Ramazid pharaohs of the 19th dynasty, who reigned from 1307 to 1196 BC, represent the culmination of ancient Egyptian power. They were brilliantly successful as imperial kings. Why? Firstly, they were people of extraordinary ability by any standards. To be a successful pharaoh, you had to be a man of extraordinary ability and great political perception and sensitivity. Secondly, they were expert at negotiation and flattery and diplomacy. Thirdly, they were competent military generals. And perhaps most of all, they lived for relatively long periods of time. Because in a state like Egypt, clearly longevity and precedent gave you power. Because if you had lived for a while and clearly had reigned for a while and were still in the prime of life, the chances of you living longer were considerable. And you also had time to consolidate your power and set up institutions and allies around so that your continuity was ensured. The first of these great pharaohs was Seti I, who became pharaoh in 1290 BC. He was a competent military man. He secured Egypt's Asian frontiers by conquest, and then engaged in public works on a massive scale. But another thing he did, which was very smart, was train his son, Ramesses, literally from birth, to be firstly a pharaoh and secondly a competent military officer. His 25-year-old son succeeded to the throne, became Ramesses II, and reigned for 66 years, living into his 90s. Think of the continuity involved. And by the freaks of archaeological preservation, we actually have both Seti I and Ramesses' mummies, so we can gaze on their countenances and even discern some of the diseases which they suffered from. One of the biggest killers, incidentally, in ancient Egypt were dental abscesses. If one of those burst, you were history. And a lot of people got them at very early ages. How do we know this? From the x-raying and medical examination of mummies. During Ramesses II's reign, Egypt achieved enormous power and wealth, in large part because of Nubian gold. Diplomatic tablets written in cuneiform, which was the lingua franca of the diplomatic world, and stored in Amarna's archives, tell of Egypt's constant cat and mouse with diplomacy with its rivals, offering bribes, chances for marriages, bribes in gold, and lavish gifts. As long as Egypt had gold, and this is a very important point, it remained a powerful political presence in the eastern Mediterranean world. But if that power evaporated, prestige evaporated just as fast. There is the famous story of Ramesses II, who was engaged in a constant power struggle with the Hittites, who now live in Turkey. And on his temples, he commemorated the great battle of Kanesh, where he and a Hittite army met in a confrontation. The stakes, control of the eastern Mediterranean. The Hittites set a trap. It was betrayed by spies.